I was reminded last night of something we should be thankful for, and that's our psalm books. My mom was over at the house. My dad never comes, but my mom was over at the house and talking, and she was sitting there in the chair looking through our psalm books, and she just looked through them and looked through them and looked through them and talked about how she loved that song. It wasn't in their song book, and loved this song. Wasn't in their song book. And talked about how wonderful the songbook was. And she kept remembering all these songs that Magnus Barnett used to sing at Star. And he was another one of those great song leaders. And caused her to go back and remember some great times from before. And it is. It's a really, really good songbook. I'm very appreciative of it. Today's sermon arises from our last business meeting we had. And we talked in that meeting about our financial needs and, you know, what we were going to need for to, you know, meet our obligations, to look at the new year, to, you know, see what we were going to need then, and how important. Two things, really. Number one, we've certainly had a lot of sickness and a lot of bad weather, and I know some of us haven't been able to come because of that, and how important it is to make up those contributions when you're not here. Because, as we'll see in today's lessons, those needs go on, you know, whether we're here or not. They're still there. The other thing is, God wants us to be like His Son. And His Son was a giver. His Son was a giver. And so this morning's lesson is simply titled, They Gave More Than Enough. They gave more than enough. As an introduction, we're going to go to the early days of the church, Acts chapter 2, right after the church was started. And then we're going to go back to the Old Testament. But let's begin Acts chapter 2. Of course, we're very familiar with this. Beginning of the church, Peter, of course, and the other apostles give that great gospel sermon, and thousands respond. The church is started. But there was a need. There was a need. Acts chapter 2, notice verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So whoever had a need, whatever that need was, then the church helped them with that need. And they realized that all that they had wasn't theirs. God simply gave it to them. And that was their attitude toward what they had. And that's how the attitude of the early church was. Shortly later, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That was the key. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Again, there was a need. There was a need. So when there was a need on the part of someone, then that need was met by the church. How? By the church, by the Christians being givers. So whenever there was a need, they gave to meet the need. So the idea of God's people giving to meet needs is a very old principle. Began with the early church. They understood how important it was to view what they possessed as not their own, but as simply tools to be used to meet needs. And that's what they did. They met needs. And we have example after example of that in the book of Acts, in the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, and other places of how God's people responded to needs. When there was a need, they responded. And they were very generous And they didn't hold back, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. They didn't hold back. They gave upon the first day of every week. So they would have that ready to give if there was a need. It's a very, very old principle. And that wasn't the first time that God asked His people to meet needs. Exodus chapter 25. Let's all go there. Exodus chapter 25. Going way back to the early, early days of the law of Moses. Exodus 25. Let's begin in the very first part of that chapter. We'll see another need that arose and see how God's people responded. Verse 1, Exodus chapter 25. This kind of sets the background for what we're going to talk about. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." Now, what was this offering for? Skip down to verses 8 and 9. "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." There was the need. God said, through Moses, "I want you to build a sanctuary, a tabernacle, a place for my presence to dwell." Did God need that? No. He didn't need a sanctuary or tabernacle. It wasn't for Him. It was for the people. So He said, "Here's how I want you to build this temple, this sanctuary, this tabernacle. This is how I want you to build." And He says, "I'm going to give you a pattern. I want you to follow it." And basically, the next 8 or 9 chapters in Exodus gives the pattern. How it's going to be built, its size, the materials, who was to do this, who was to do that, what was going to go in it, where it was supposed to be placed. All of that, that whole pattern is given in the next few chapters. And God said, "That's why I want you to give willingly. There's this need. Give so the need can be met." That's the background. Now notice, we turn over 10 chapters to Exodus 35. We get to the heart of it. Exodus 35. The time comes for the people to bring the offering to the tabernacle. Now, he had, back in Exodus 25, he had told Moses, "You speak to the children of Israel. This is what I'm going to want them to do. I'm going to want a sanctuary, a tabernacle built, and I want it built by my people bringing a free will offering to supply that need." Exodus 35 comes along. Now's the time to do that. See, he had told them all the pattern. He had told them everything they needed. Now, Exodus 35, it's time for the people to give. Notice verse 4. "And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord.'" Now he lists all the things they could bring. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the night, spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Those are all the different things that people could bring for the sanctuary, for the tabernacle. And of course, the ephod and the breastplate was going to be for the high priest, who was the main one serving in the tabernacle. So not only did God want them to supply the need of the tabernacle, but of all the things that went in the tabernacle, and for the people who were to serve in the tabernacle. He says, "I want you to bring those things. Now I want you to do it, but I want you to do it only if you want to." God says, "I'm not forcing you to do this." He says, "I want you to do it willingly. I want you to do it because you want to do it. I want you to do it because it's from your heart." He says, "That's what I want." See, he didn't force the people. He didn't say, "Okay, John Doe, you bring an onyx stone and you have to do it." That's not what he did. He said, "This is the whole need of my people. This is what I want you to do. I'm leaving it up to you as to who does it, how they do it, Who brings what? I don't want anybody, God says, to bring something unless you want to bring it. If you don't have the right heart, don't bring it. Don't give anything. I think that's a great lesson right there. Did God have to do this? God didn't need a sanctuary in the first place. But even if God wanted a tabernacle to be built, all he had to do was say, tabernacle, and there would have been, right? The whole thing, everything, just perfectly done. The people wouldn't have had to do a thing. Is that what God did? No. Why not? Why didn't God just speak it into existence like he did the world? He could have. I mean, he made the world. Building a tabernacle would have been a piece of cake. But he didn't do it. So there had to be a reason for that. There had to be a reason. He asked the people to volunteer, to willingly bring all of these things, and then find the people to build it. There had to be a reason for it. Otherwise, he would have done it himself. Why did God always do things? To teach a lesson. So what lesson was he trying to get them to learn? To be generous givers. It's a lesson he wanted them to learn. To be generous givers, and why they should be generous givers. He didn't need any of that. God didn't need onyx stones. He didn't need stones for the breastplate. He didn't need that tabernacle. Didn't need that golden altar. He didn't need any of those things. That didn't make him a better God in any way, shape, or form. And that's still true today. Our giving doesn't make God better. God can't be better. So it doesn't have anything to do with God needing it or him somehow being a better God. It certainly wasn't then, and it certainly isn't now. So what did he do? He chose to fund it through his people, through gifts of his people, so they would learn to be generous givers. Notice, same chapter, verses 21 and 22. After talking about all the things, again, that was going to be made by the builders, the artisans, verse 21. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred. Everyone came whose heart was stirred. And everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. Lots of stuff in those two verses. It would seem to indicate that not everybody gave. Because everyone came whose heart was stirred, whose heart was willing. Probably not everybody's was. But everybody who knew how important it was, who did it willingly, who volunteered to do it, those people came. See, they had the right heart. God didn't force any of those people to give if they didn't want to give. But the people who had the right heart gave. And he knew those would be the people who gave. Because people who have the right heart do what? Well, they give. And he knew that. So he's trying to teach his people a great lesson. They were stirred to action. And what did they bring? Well, they brought earrings, nose rings, rings and necklaces, jewelry of gold. They brought stuff they had. These people had those things. They didn't go out and buy them. They had them. Did they need them? Nope. They didn't need them. Didn't need them at all. Did God know that? Certainly. He knew they didn't need them. So the people brought those things. And they were worth a lot. These were gold necklaces, gold rings, gold earrings. Who gave? Was it just the people that had a lot that gave? I don't think so. Verse 22, it says, they came both men and women. So first of all, men and women came. Wasn't just men, wasn't just women. It was men and women. Verse 23 says,
And every man with whom was found, blue, purple, scarlet thread, so forth, brought them. Verse 25, all the women who were gifted brought things. So we've seen men and women came. Men who had certain types of thread came. Women who were gifted came. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be done. Now this is something God says, I want you to build this tabernacle. But He never says to an individual, you have to do this. God just presented, here's the need, this is what I want you to do. He says, who brings what and who brings how much is up to you. There's the need, and there's what I want you to build and how to build it and what I want you to make it out of. I want you to follow that pattern. But how you do that, that's up to you. So it was all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring. See, that was it. God is wanting to teach them a lesson about being generous givers. Just like the people in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. There was a need, they gave generously. It's the same lesson, different circumstances, different times, but exactly the same lesson. And so we see it wasn't just rich people that gave. There was no waiting. People didn't wait until they had a lot more to give. They gave what they had then. It wasn't, I'm going to give 3 years from now when I have a lot more. Nope, that wasn't it. Why? Because the sanctuary and tabernacle was going to be built now. Here's the need now. This is what I need you to do now. Who brings how much and what? God says, I'm not telling anybody what to do. Only those people who want to gave, whose heart caused them. They were stirred to action. And that's exactly what they did. Who were they giving to, though? The Lord. Verse 21 says, they brought the Lord's offering. Verse 22, they made an offering of gold to the Lord. Verse 29, a freewill offering to the Lord. Did the Lord need it? No. But who were they giving it to? To the Lord. We really didn't give money this morning to the church, did we? Nope. Gave it to the Lord. And He knows exactly how much is in there and how much we've given and all that. He knows all of that. And He doesn't need a nickel. He's going to be the same God whether we give anything. But we won't be the same people. That's the lesson He was trying to teach in Exodus and in Acts chapter 2. Same thing. We change. He doesn't. And so He's always, from the very beginning, tried to teach His people to be generous. Tried to teach them that great lesson. What was the outcome? Next chapter, Exodus chapter 36, verse 3. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. So they gave one day, and then the next day they gave more, and then the next day they gave more. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing. For the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. They kept on giving. The response was overwhelming. And they gave way more than was needed. And they didn't need any more. They gave enough to meet those needs. People were blessed because of it. Exodus chapter 39, the very last verse, verse 43. Exodus 39, verse 43. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. And Moses blessed them. That's a great lesson. I think we can learn a tremendous amount from it. Let me give you a kind of a modern day application that I found some time ago. A minister went to the shop of one of the members to get a haircut. In the course of conversation, the minister suggested that since the barber's business was prospering, he hoped the church could count on his liberal support of the budget. Not surprisingly, this seemed to irritate the barber. "All I hear is money, money, money," he exclaimed. "I think a person should give what he pleases instead of hearing about all of those proportionate amounts you're always preaching about." Well, the minister didn't say anything. When the haircut was finished, he gave the barber 30 cents. Well, the barber declared with indignation that it wasn't nearly enough. Well, the minister said, "I thought I should give as I felt inclined." But the barber protested, "I can't pay my expenses if people just give me any amount they happen to have in their pockets." He was really digging himself a hole, wasn't he? Producing the rest of the fee, the minister said, "Neither can the church carry on the Lord's work unless the people appreciate His blessings and give back to Him what is rightly His." And you'll see that, you know, way back in Exodus and go all the way through the Bible, you see that idea. You know, the church functions, as the Bible says it's to function, solely on free will offerings. We're not supposed to have bake sales or car washes, or open up a restaurant, or anything else. The Bible authorizes one way only to fund the work of the church. Only one. And that's free will offerings, nothing else. And God wants His people to be a giving people, just like always. There's a lot of things that are coming up. Brother Lyons, remember, was here a week or two ago and mentioned the fact there were all kinds of opportunities there and they all needed one thing. Remember what that was? Money. They all needed money. Everything does. Everything is funded like that, by money. We're going to end here in just a moment with 2 Corinthians chapter 8. An example in the New Testament of some people. Probably most of us think that we're pretty poor and don't have a lot. So let's talk about some people who really didn't have very much. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth because he's trying to stir the Corinthians to give. So he says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now notice what Paul's idea of God's grace being bestowed meant. I think that's important. What was it? "Then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty." This phrase in the original means they were practically destitute. Well, this affliction abounded in the riches of their liberality. "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing." That sounds like the people back in Exodus 35, doesn't it? They gave way beyond what they could. Way beyond. And the Bible says, the grace of God was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. How? Even though they were in terrible circumstances, they gave way beyond their ability because they were freely willing. And you know, the Bible tells us we'll be blessed just in a similar way to people in the Old Testament. Jesus himself said this, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. It will be measured back to you. You know, we need to give so that we can help other people, right? I want to be a blessing to other people. And of course, the way that God gets the glory is when we do that in His name, particularly when it's done in the name of the church. Give and it'll be given back to you. We've all put stuff in a, filled something up in, into a can and it looks full, but when you shake it and, you know, side to side, up and down, it goes down so it fills up every little empty space. That's what he's talking about in this. That'll be so full that there's no room for any more and it actually flows over. That's a promise, actually. He says that will happen. Give and it'll be given back to you. How? Till it runs over. Those are the words of Jesus. It's a very important lesson. Jesus talked about money and giving more than about any other subject. It's amazing when I was doing this lesson the past couple of weeks how much he talks about it. That was one of the subjects he considered the most important, was how his people gave. And of course we see that throughout his life because no one gave more than he did. He gave his whole life. We commemorate that, as C.L. mentioned, in the Lord's Supper, but in a lot of other ways as well. So when we think about what he gave for us, then what we give back to him is very, very small. God wants his people to be generous givers and to learn that lesson. I'm hoping this lesson today is helping us maybe to ring in the new year with determination to be better, more generous givers in every way, every possible way. If you have a need this morning to become a New Testament Christian by having your sins washed away, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, I encourage you to come as we stand and sing this.